Chamberlain. I was last here a few years ago, I think 2022, and Doug wanted me to mention, yes, my mom has eaten since then, in case any of you remember, that was an old joke. I called my mom, I said, I haven't eaten in so long. Mom, why haven't you eaten so long? Well, I didn't want to have my mouth full of food in case you called me. So I have called her, and she is doing well. She has eaten since then. John is on vacation, and I've known John for a while now, and y'all called and asked if I would come, so glad to be here. Good to be with you and share the word with you. If you have a Bible, we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I will focus on verses 16, 17, 18. I will make reference to the other verses as well, and other parts of the book and other sections, but we will be spending bulk of our time in those three verses. If you have a device, press the button. If you have your own Bible, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. If you have a pew Bible, I don't know if you have pew Bibles here, but you will find it in the New Testament. It's a big portion of the way over. Thank you, Lord. Would you join with me in prayer as we begin? Father God, in Jesus' name we come in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, and we thank you for this body. We thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for your word that goes forward and will not return void. We thank you, Lord, for holding us fast, even when our faith will fail, even when things all around us are crumbling. Teach us this morning and lead us and guide us, instruct us, mold us, shape us. Christ rejoiced always. Christ prayed always. Christ gave thanks always. Let us be more like Christ from these verses. We thank you, Lord, for what you will do today. We give you glory in his name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This sounds great. These things are easy to do when you hit the lottery, pull the lever, big money, cha-ching. I rejoice. I give thanks. I get the best parking spot. You are the star tight end of the Super Bowl winning team. You ask the billion-dollar music star to get married. Baby, just say yes. What's not to rejoice about? What's not to give thanks for? What's not to pray over? But in my experience, and perhaps in yours, many times, you read these verses, and you say, are you kidding me? Do you not see what's going on around me? Alexander and the horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day, week, month, year, decade. The restaurant was awful. Costco was a madhouse. On any given week, cancer, stroke, broken wrist, amputated foot, elderly parents in need of care, wayward children, widows, widowers, tests came back positive. Oh, by the way, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance. I do not like these verses. How does this work, Paul? Commands? God commands. Why does God put that here? How does he put that here? How does this work in my life? Life is hard. Most of life is difficult. I don't think we're supposed to walk around like Eeyore all the time. Don't mind me. Nobody else does. But on the other hand, I don't think we're supposed to walk around happy, clappy,
zippity-doo-dah, always have a smile on my face. Lament is real. Hardship is real. Crud is real. The Christian life is not peaches and cream and sunshine and roses and all the lights on Main Street are green. Is there something else? Is there something more? How do we do this? Rejoice, pray, give thanks through troubles, crud. On the back of your bulletin, that's what we're talking about. God's sovereignty in all situations, God's sovereignty in the suffering. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks even in the hard times. I'll make 4 points. We'll see how it goes. I think you have to mention always. Paul seems to mention always. Paul is focused on the always. You can't miss that in these few verses. It's not just when you feel like it. It's not just when things are going good, but always. It's interesting, in our English versions, we're told what to do and then when to do it. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And yet, if you are reading in the Greek, I am not a Greek scholar, but if you read in the Greek, it's reversed, and the time comes first. Always rejoice, without ceasing, pray. In all circumstances, give thanks. You get the sense Paul wants us to know, God wants us to know, always, without ceasing, in every circumstance. It's easy to get overwhelmed and consumed when the hardships are all around you. You feel like you're sinking, like your faith will fail, and you're going down for the last count. Always is the antidote. And you might go to God and say, I don't feel like it. How can I? God says, I didn't ask you how you feel. I understand it's a rough patch. However, this is my word. This is my command. This is what you are to do. Always. Just like when you have to get your tires realigned, get everything lined up and in working order, you need to get your heart and head aligned with what God's word is. It's not a matter of fitting God into my life. It's a matter of I need to fit my life into what God says. And here is what he says. I need to remind myself. I need to command myself. I need to pull myself together. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. What do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. We attune our hearts and our minds to the Bible and to God. It is an act of will. We will ourselves to rejoice, pray, give thanks. We have to exercise that muscle. If you don't use it, you'll lose it, and you need to be using it, seeing things from his angle, from his perspective. Maybe that means less of the world, less doom scrolling, less feeding and drinking at the trough and cesspool of what the world has to offer. We think about our affections and our desires. What truly makes us happy, comfortable, peaceful, satisfaction, joy, and thanksgiving? So we have to get our lives in order, always renewing, realigning, reattuning, refocusing, getting back on track. We are prone to wander. I am prone to wander and prone to forget. No different from the Israelites grumbling. Can't we go back to Egypt? Man, we had it so good back in Egypt in slavery. Very easy to grumble and get overwhelmed with what is happening around us. In Psalm 42, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Trust in him. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote about spiritual depression and Psalm 42. And when you find yourself downcast, you have to preach the gospel to yourself. Grab hold of yourself by the shirt collar. Get yourself back in order. What's wrong with you? There is so much to rejoice and pray and give thanks for, always, even in the hardship. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what the Lord has done. We sing the song at church, "Blessed be your name." When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, yes, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, when there is pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Paul says that here, rejoice always, to give joy. This is not the only time that Paul has said it. We're familiar with Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, when? Always. Again, I say rejoice. It's interesting, in Romans 12:15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And the reality of weeping. And maybe you weep, have wept, are weeping. If not yet, then wait. You will. You know this. We think about the hardships. Think about always. And also, you have to mention accepting the reality of hardship. We rejoice and we weep. The need to accept and understand. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, even through the hardships. Paul and the Thessalonians knew something about hardships. They understood suffering. Don't worry, be happy. Always look on the bright side of life with a stupid grin on your face. That won't cut it. Paul is concluding his letter. This is the first letter that he wrote to the Thessalonians in Acts 17. He visited them on his missionary journey, and now in Acts 18, he's in Corinth. He's writing them this letter. He gives these three commands. In Thessalonica, or Thessalonia, they were a young church. They were following idols before they came to know Christ. They were not born again. They were worshiping the Greek and pagan idols. Paul came on a trip and shared the gospel. They came to know the Lord. They're born again. Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you heard the good news that Christ saves? Thessalonians were a newly planted church. No sooner did Paul share with them. Paul and Silas had to leave suddenly in the middle of the night. There was an uproar and a riot. One of the brothers, Jason, was dragged before the authorities. What's going on? What's happening here? And the church had some theological questions. They had fears. Paul was telling them about the return of Christ, and now he's gone. Wait, we have questions. Come back. But how does that work? Earlier in the letter, Paul has made reference to these troubles and sufferings. In chapter 1, verse 6, he mentions the affliction. And in chapter 2, verse 2, they were suffering and shamefully treated and the conflict that was there. In chapter 2, verse 17, 18, 19, they were torn away from them abruptly. If you know anything about Paul's life, life was not all peaches and cream and sunshine and roses. He had his fair share of suffering. 2 Corinthians 11, five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. That's five times. Let me figure that out. Five times 40, 200 less one, five times 195, if I did the math right. 195 times whipped by his own people, the Jews. Three times beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times shipwrecked, a night and a day, drift at sea, frequent journeys, in danger of the river, in danger of the robbers, danger from my own people, and danger from the Goyim, the Gentiles. Danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, Toils, hardships, many sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, no food, cold, and exposed. Oh, and by the way, just the pressures of anxiety of churches and those who I love and care and pray for. Paul knew something of suffering and hardship, and yet he writes this. To them, rejoice, pray, give thanks always, even in the hardships. I don't know what lines. I'm Jewish. I'm from New York. I came to know Christ when I was 29 years old. I could tell you the story. We'll have coffee. We'll talk. It'll be a day, if you'd like. Being born again, I did not get in the line to be born again and follow Jesus, and it's all smooth sailing after that, right? Everything's great. Oftentimes, you come to know Christ, things get worse. But it's okay, because you know where you are headed. You know Christ. You're headed to the promised land, heaven. You're not under God's wrath and destruction and hell. Hardship is real. And yet, what is even more real? Look what he says in these verses. Pray without ceasing, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, abiding in God's will. Where'd that come from? He's on with this list here. We started in verse 12 with just a bunch of things to do, but now he inserts, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why say that here? Interrupt all these commands in this last chapter with this. Why is this God's will? I'd like to know God's will for my life. Would you like to know God's will for your life? Who to marry, what job to have, what state to live in? This is God's will. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance. Why does he say that here? It is God's will for you to be thankful, rejoice, and pray. All things work together for good and for those who are called in Christ. Romans 8:28. Are you in Christ? Your hardship is hard, but God's will for you is good, and even the hardship and the suffering, all things work together for good for those in Christ. Joseph was in Egypt, and he escaped, and he was on the throne, and the brothers came to him. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God's will for Joseph's life was to go through some suffering. It worked out okay. Job said to his wife, the wife said everything that happened to Job, if you're familiar, and it was awful, and the wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, shall we receive good from God and not the evil as well? The hardships, the suffering, the bad? What is God's will? Who is God that you worship? And what is his will? This is his idea. You didn't come up. Paul's not just, I think they'll just rejoice, pray, give thanks. What a great idea. This is God's idea. It's not Paul's idea or yours. The lost do not understand this. Those without Christ, they don't understand, give thanks and pray and rejoice in all things, even in the hardships. Romans 1:22, the lost don't give thanks. They don't understand. Why is this God's will for you in Christ Jesus? It shows us who God is. God is a good God. God does good. He rejoices. God is a rejoicing God. He is a God who is worthy of receiving prayers and worship and thanksgiving. Is this your God? Are you his people? How much do you look and act like your heavenly Father? The apple shouldn't fall too far from the tree. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Does God will destruction and doom and punishment for you in Christ? How would you answer that? Yes or no? You can shout out loud. Say no. No. That's good. Say no. Does God will destruction and doom and punishment for you in Christ? No. Does God will hard and hurtful and difficult things sometimes? Yes. He can. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Three times I went and asked, can you take this away? Can you take this away? Can you take this away? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And what do you say? No. Don't make me come back there. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. J.I. Packer wrote, Knowing God, long quote, he said, God gives us trials to overwhelm us with the sense of inadequacy and driving you to cling to Him more closely. In fact, God fills your life with troubles, confusion, perplexities to ensure that you will learn to hold Him fast. He will hold me fast, praise God, because I lose sight. I need to be reminded to hold Him fast. Why does the Bible spend so much time reiterating, God is a strong rock, God is a firm defense, God is a sure refuge, God is a help for those who are weak? God spends so much of His time bringing home to us, we are weak, mentally and morally. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, we dare not trust the sweetest frame. We dare not trust ourselves to follow the right road, even stay on the right road. Your life is rough and perplexing. Good. That way you can learn to thankfully rejoice, pray, give thanks always, lean on Him. God is driving out in the hardships of your life. God is driving out self-confidence, learning to trust in Him, wait upon the Lord. In light of that, we do not despair, and we are not without hope. I don't know how people without Christ manage. The abuse, the suffering, Minneapolis, what happened at the school. I keep up with the news from New York. A police officer was hit on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. Someone's dad is not coming home. But we are with Christ, in Christ. We are not without hope. God is the one whom we set our hope upon. God knows the hardship you are going through. God's will is not doom and destruction for you. God's will is not an accident, luck, or random chance. God's will is not, wow, I'm sorry, I didn't see that coming. God's will is not, I wish I could help you. I'm just not powerful enough against that. God's will is not, I'm a mean ogre. I want you to suffer. God's will for you in Christ to rejoice, pray, give thanks. He does not will anything bad for you. It is in your best interest to rejoice, pray, give thanks, and it does us good. And to pray always means God is here. I am here, God says. I am listening 24/7. You never get an answering machine with God. Hey, this is God. Sorry, can't come to the phone. Leave a beep, pat the beep, leave a message. That's not God. Did you get my text? Did you get my text? God always gets the text. God says, tell me all your troubles. Sit down and let's go over it. Always pray. Notice Paul says it is God's will. He doesn't just say that's God's will, but it is God's will in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ. Christ suffered and died a painful and wrongful, unfair death in your place, according to God's will. He took the punishment that you do not have to, the old rugged cross. And he wills to love you and to show you his grace and mercy, forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Christ, more precious than any amount of gold or silver. He wills for you to have new life, and he has given you his Spirit to empower you and a guarantee of your inheritance. He wills to adopt you and bring you to him in glory. He has gone on ahead, and in his house are many rooms. He's preparing that room. He will return and gather us up on that day. Will you be found in him? Do you know Christ? Are you born again? You can always rejoice and always pray and always give thanks in God's will through the power of his blood and the presence of his Spirit that is working in you. And we need to keep this in perspective. We need to learn and relearn and abide in his will. At the end of the day, if you know Jesus, you have much to rejoice over and pray over and give thanks for, despite whatever is happening around you. George Swinnick, a Puritan preacher, you were naked and restless and famished and wallowing in blood and gasping for breath and waiting for demons to send you to the dungeon of darkness. But God looked on you with favor and clothed you with righteousness and satisfied you with flesh and drink, binding your wounds, raising you from the dead, freeing you from bondage, adopting you as a child, accepting you as righteous, marrying you to his only begotten Son. You are the bride of Christ, an heir of all things, and a great inheritance awaits you. He is dwelling with you now by his Spirit. He carries you on eagle's wings. He leads you through the wilderness of this world, and he will bring you safely to your heavenly home. Last point, one more thing to say. And when the preacher says it's the last point, it doesn't mean anything. Don't pay attention to that. Community, alongside in community. Notice that these commands come at the end of a letter that has been soaking in plural you. Starting in verse 12, we ask you, brothers, sisters, respect the leaders of your church. This is a community. Verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, admonish the idle. Verse 15, seek to do good to one another in the church, to everyone else outside the church. Here he says, rejoice, pray, give thanks. And then he's going to go on about praying for us and greeting the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I'll stand over there when I'm finished and I could kiss you if you want. I'd prefer not, but if you really insisted on it, I'll shake your hand, you know, fist bump. Whatever. What if rejoicing and praying and giving thanks is to be done in community, with community, for community? Rejoicing always for others, with others. Pray without ceasing always for others, with others. Give thanks in all circumstances always with others, for others. How can church community, brothers and sisters, help you and encourage you in the hardships to bring healing and hope and remind you? God will build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Hardships are not to be feared. The movie Apollo 13, Jim Lovell, the astronaut, passed away a few weeks ago. He was on Apollo 13, and when things blew up and they didn't know if they were going to make it to the moon or get back on Earth or not, and everybody in the control room at NASA, this is going to be NASA's biggest disaster. But the flight chief said, gentlemen, I disagree. This will be our finest hour. Opportunities, suffering, and hardship are opportunities for your finest hour, God's finest hour, in the glory, giving him all the glory and praise he is due. Would you take some time in quiet? Would you think on these things? Would you pray on these things about always and accepting the reality of hardship. You come today in the season of hardship. Come to the cross. Come and lay your burdens down. Abide in His will, along with brothers and sisters, one another. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Today is the day to repent of your sin, confess, and receive His mercy, love, and forgiveness through the cross, the blood of Christ. Maybe you've known Him for years. Praise God. Need a realignment. Need to reattune. Need to refocus. Let's take some time in quiet. We'll close with song and prayer. Thank you, Lord. We'll close with a final song and prayer. If you have any questions or concerns, if you are in need of prayer, any complaints, please stay. Love to think through that and talk through things with you.